So glad to have the opportunity to have our missionaries speak tonight, and so we're very excited about that. Let's bow together for a word of prayer, and then we will get our service started tonight. Father, we're sure so very grateful for your continued work in our lives. Thank you for how you take the Word of God and you impress it upon our hearts. Thank you for the opportunity to fellowship with other Christians and to learn about needs all around the world. Pray that you would take the Word and use it tonight in our hearts, and just bless every aspect of the service tonight. And we ask it all in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's go ahead and stand for our first song tonight. We'll be singing hymn 530, 530, Rescue the Perishing. We'll sing all four verses.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. We for the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, for mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save.
Just a few pages back. We'll sing Saved by the Blood. We'll sing all three verses.
Saved by the blood of the crucified one.
Turn over to 512. Again, just a few pages over to 512. We'll sing the four verses of Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It.
Okay, well, during Missions Month, we've been showing videos from conversations with some of our missionaries, and this week we're actually not going to do that. We're going to take a pause from that, but some of our missionaries have had a little bit of trouble connecting with them, but we are wanting to do conversations with them. So we're going to kind of continue this at different times throughout the rest of the year. On some Sunday nights, we will do testimony time. On some Sunday nights, we're going to do conversations, and in some of these situations, I was able to speak with them, and we had a great conversation, but we weren't able to do a short condensed recording, so I asked them to do a short recording for us at another time. For instance, with the Schleylines, I was able to have a great time chatting with Paul, and I said, you know, send me an update, and so I will be showing one of those. I also had a great conversation with Bruce Tuttle recently, and so we will be showing that one as well. So tonight, what I'd like us to do is take a couple of minutes to give you an opportunity to share testimonies of how the Lord.
do not know this one. Play it through once. I also do not know this one. Let's see this one time through. There in your blue books, 57. Spirit sword. I know this one. To our red books for 193. It's not even Thanksgiving yet. I should veto this, but we won't. Let's go ahead and sing. Angels from the Realms of Glory. And let's stand as we sing the first and last of Rejoice, the Lord is King.
Well, I've really enjoyed the opportunity to spend some time with the Laskauskas family, and thankful for the Lord allowing our paths to cross and just the opportunity to have encouraging fellowship. And, you know, the scriptures that we've been working through in this study on the church at Ephesus, the truth is I probably sat through and planned out what text I was going to deal with maybe 2 or 3 months before Missions Month. And I didn't necessarily try to coordinate. That doesn't mean that the messages were done 2 or 3 months ago. But, you know, I wasn't thinking of coordinating necessarily with different missionaries. But after listening to really what their burden is for the country of Lithuania and thinking about really the focus of our message this morning, I saw just a great coordination. And that's the Lord who is working in that way, putting those pieces together. And so I'm really thankful for that focus. And I'm also looking forward to hearing him preach the word this evening. I'm looking forward to the text that you're going to be dealing with. So, brother, come on up and open the word and preach the word to us.
Good evening, church. It's good to be back here. It's good to be back in the church. Thank you for being such a loving church for us already. It feels like a family for us. And we had a really great lunch with the pastor's family and with some other families. And we really enjoy being here. And so tonight I would like to open the Word with you together. So please open with me Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, and we are going to read verses 2, 3, and 4. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2, 3, and 4. Verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, withal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that you gave your word for us. Thank you that you spoke to us, that we have this written word, that we can have it, we can read it, we can understand it. And thank you that it's so clear that we can really understand, and not just understand, but also that it changes our lives and that we can apply this word to our lives. So God, help us to really understand your word today, and to really be changed by your word, and to really apply it to our lives. Thank you, God, that you're such a loving God. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So as you see, we're jumping in the middle of this letter. So to better grasp the author's intended meaning of this passage, let's take a look at the context. Let's see the bigger picture first before we dive into the message of our passage tonight. So Paul, while he's in custody in Rome, writes this letter with such a love and compassion, even though he has never been to this church himself, the Colossian church. The Colossian congregation was very young, most probably a home church. The city of Colossae, where this church was located, once a rich city at the moment, was in very bad shape. The economy in the city was changed when the new highway was laid bypassing the city. Also, this region experienced severe earthquakes, which devastated the city and forced people to leave. So the once rich and powerful city now was a dying country town. And it was not the end of their problems in that church. This church had not just external problems, but also internal problems. False teachings crept into the church. There were a few kinds of false teachings there, but they all had the same purpose. They misled people to believe that Christ is not enough for their salvation and God the living. False teachers said, yes, you need Christ plus something else. Christ is not enough. You need something else. Overall, Colossians church had economical unrest, geographical difficulties, and false teaching creeping into the church. The situation is so relevant for us today. What people in society is thinking these days? A few months ago, it was gas prices. Gas prices going at over $5. Everyone just talking about gas prices. And all the difficulties, viruses, known virus, unknown virus. It's just everyone is distracted. Many, many difficulties in our society here. I think everyone can relate. Think about Europe at the moment. Economical difficulties, no doubt. The prices is going up. Geographical difficulties. We have a war going on just a few hundred miles from our home or the place where we are going to serve. So life is difficult in both sides of the Atlantic Ocean. And it's astonishing to see how years and years go by, but the Bible becomes more and more relevant for us. No matter in what kind of circumstances Colossians were or we are today, in the middle of this unrest, Paul steers everyone back to Christ, back to what really, really matters. So in the light of this context, of this unrest, Paul's teaching, and Paul is writing this letter, and now in very end of this letter, he's giving this passage. So let's read again in this context. What he wants us to do in all this context. Let's read it again. Verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same in thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. In our text today, Paul commands believers in Colossae to focus on prayer, to continue with thanksgiving in prayer, praying for Paul's ministry, that God would open doors for a clear gospel proclamation. Paul invites them to be his partners in prayer. First of all, at the beginning of verse 2, we see that Paul's focus here is prayer. He says, continue in prayer. Paul commands Colossian believers to devote themselves to prayer. The word continue here is in present tense, meaning that Paul is expecting that this action will be done repeatedly, continuously, even in the matter of habit. In other words, Paul commands believers to give constant attention to prayer in their lives, to have priority to pray in their life. Often our prayers are prayed on the fly before we get to the more important things in our life. But that is not right. We should continue and devote ourselves to prayer, which must be a priority in our life. One of my professors in the college, in Appalachian Bible College, he challenged the students and asked a question. He said, do you know why you're not praying? And the answer is, because you're not planning to. Do we plan to pray? How we plan to pray in our everyday basis? Do we just pray on the fly, or do we actually plan to set aside the time and pray? Now, looking at our passage, expositing it, we clearly see Paul's desire for us to continue in prayer, to have priority to pray, to have a life marked by prayer. At the beginning of verse 2, Paul gives us the commandment to pray. It is clear, Paul wants us to pray. After we know what to do, Paul instructs us how to pray, and when we pray, what to pray. So first of all, I'll give you two ways how to pray. Two words on how to pray. So first, verse 2, alertness in prayer. Who's taking notes? Alertness in prayer, verse 2. And verse 3 and 4, partnership in prayer. Alertness in prayer and partnership in prayer. So let's take a look at the first way to continue in prayer. It's alertness in prayer. Paul says in verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. He says, be watchful, keep alert in prayer, and always be ready. The word used here means to stay awake, to be alert. But what does it mean? It could mean multiple things, since Paul did not clarify here. But I'll give you three things. Three things how to stay alert. How to stay alert in prayer. So first, it could be a physical alertness in prayer. Since often we tend to drift off to sleep when we are praying, because we are praying in the late at night, we are praying in the morning, and we just, when we pray, we tend to fall asleep when we are praying. So the first one is pray when you pray. Pray when you pray. The second one, it could be the mental alertness, as we are tempted even while praying to turn our prayers in the prideful exaltation of ourselves or even complain to God. Sometimes we pray one thing and we are thinking another thing. So we have to be mentally alert. The second one is think about what you pray. Think about what you pray. So first, pray when you pray, and then think about what you pray. And the third one, it could be spiritual awareness of the needs around you, both in your life and the life of others. Think about the needs of others, your brothers and sisters, family members. Maybe there is something in your life that would be addressed. You have to be really spiritually alert of the needs of others and or needs of you in your life. Maybe there is a sin in your life that could be addressed, confessed. The third one is, Third one is pray for the needs around you. So pray when you pray, think about you, what about you pray, and pray for the needs around you. This word watch in prayer or stay alert is used multiple times in the scriptures, including when Jesus exhorted his disciples to stay awake and pray. And what they did? They fell asleep. This word is used multiple times in scripture to exhort believers. In 1 Peter 5:8, in the context of prayer, believers are commanded to be watchful about the devil who prowls around like a roaring lion. 1 Corinthians 16:13, all believers are called to stay alert and watchful in their Christian walk, in Christian life. Acts 20:31, even elders, pastors of the church are called to stay alert because wolves seek to come into the church. Pastors have to be watchful, alert, and guard the gates of the church. We know from the previous chapters that the Colossian church and church had economical difficulties, geographical difficulties, and false teachings creeping into the church. It was very easy to get distracted. It was very easy to lose focus. It's very easy for us to lose focus in our life. Paul says, stay alert and be watchful in prayer because there will be endless distractions. Focus on Christ, focus on ministry, focus on prayer in your life. The idea is here not that the believer should pray with intensity when they pray, but that they should pray habitually, with alertness. We have to be alert in our prayers. And yet, I believe there is more here than this. I believe that Paul is ultimately talking about being alert in prayer as it relates to the soon coming of Christ. This prayer will not only be watchful, but it will also be eschatological or heavenly prayer. As Paul prayed in 1 Corinthians 16 and John prayed in Revelation 22, we should be praying with an eye to the sky all the times. Every prayer should end with the words, Maranatha, the Lord, please come. I believe this reality, staying alert in prayer and praying for the return of Christ, is seen in the thankfulness in the prayer as well. The last part of Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving in the prayer is very important to our prayers. How easy it is to become defeated in our prayers if every prayer is totally desperate plea of deliverance or constant cry for help. We have to be thankful in our prayers as well. Thanksgiving helps us see clearly even in the difficult times. Gratitude is essential to spiritual survival in this wicked world. Paul himself persisted through a life marked by great pain and persecution because he was already thankful for his future life with his Savior, Jesus Christ. As you drive a car, you always pay attention to what's going on around you. In the same way, you have to be watchful in your prayer life and pray with thankfulness and ultimate hope to spend your eternity with your Savior. Life is short, and we know that. You should pray with eternity in your mind. Focus on eternal things, not on temporal things when you pray. So the first mark on how to devote yourself to prayer is alertness in prayer. Be alert in prayer. Paul now moves from talking about believers' personal prayer life to talking about how believers can and must partner with him in gospel ministry through prayer. So the second mark on how to devote yourself to prayer is partnership in prayer. Partnership in prayer. Let's read the verse 3. Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. With all, praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. So as Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, that he is praying for the Colossian church, and now Paul is asking them to pray for his ministry. Paul is asking believers, when they pray, to remember to pray for Paul and others in his gospel ministry. So it's like a bookend of the book of Colossians. In the beginning, he says, I'm praying for you. In the end, he says, pray for my ministry. So it's beautiful. So we just saw how to pray. Be alert in prayer and pray for Paul's ministry. Now we'll see what to pray. So Paul says, pray. And he says, when you pray, be alert. Pray for my ministry. And when you do that, now I'll let you know what's the content of that prayer, what you have to pray. What to pray when you pray. First, pray for open doors for the gospel. He says, pray for open doors for the gospel. Second, pray for the clarity of the gospel. Pray for clarity of the gospel. The first one is focused on God, who will be opening the doors for the gospel, while the second one is focusing on Paul, who will be proclaiming the gospel. So first thing, what to pray, is pray for open doors for the gospel. Verse 3. With all, praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. Paul is asking believers to pray that God would open the doors for the gospel. Paul does not expect to open the doors himself, but he expects God supernaturally to open doors for the utterance. Paul knows very well from his ministry experience that only God can open doors. So please open with me Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. We are going to read verses 6, 7, and 10. Acts 16, verses 6, 7, and 10. We'll see how Paul experienced, opened, and closed the doors in his ministry. And just God is opening and closing the doors. Acts 16, verses 6, 7, and 10. Verse 6. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, the doors is closed. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. God closed the doors. And after he had seen the vision, immediately he endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Open doors. So Paul is trying one direction, Paul is trying another, third. He's trying many directions until God opens the doors. Paul has no power whatsoever to open the doors. Ultimately, he has no power to open man's heart to the gospel. That is why he's asking Colossians to pray to God to open doors. God knows when and how to open it. So Paul asks for the opportunity to speak. He prays for sovereign intervention of God. I love the lesson learned from this request. Paul understands that opportunity for the gospel and the fruit of the gospel rest ultimately upon the sovereign intervention of God. Unless God opens the doors of the heart, man will not believe. Unless God opens the doors of the mind, man will never see the need of the Savior. Unless God opens the door for the ministry, ministers cannot and will not go. Notice, Paul does not pray that a door would be open for him. He prays the door would be open for the word, for the utterance. Paul understood that gospel ministry ultimately rested in sovereign providence of God and the power of his word rightfully proclaimed. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He also understood that he was not the message, but Christ was the message. He prays for an open doors for the word, that Christ may be proclaimed, and this proclaiming of Christ landed him in prison. And even though Paul is in prison, he's not asking to change his circumstances there. To Paul, an open doors to reach others with the gospel is more important than open prison doors. He understood that even though he was bound in chains, the word of God was not bound. 2 Timothy 2:9. So the first thing Paul asks from jail is to pray that God would open doors. Jail doors? No. That God would open doors for the word, for the gospel. So the second thing he has to pray is pray for the clarity of the gospel. Pray for the clarity of the gospel. Verse 4. Let's read verse 4. It says, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Paul has a desire that his proclamation of the gospel will be understandable and clear for the hearers. He wants to speak clearly, but also that his audience would understand. Paul is praying for the heart of the listeners and the mouth of the speaker. He asks Colossians to pray for open doors and for the clarity of the gospel. So I like this balance made here, that Paul totally depends on God's sovereignty in this process, but at the same time, he takes the full responsibility to proclaim the gospel. It's amazing. We just read, he says, as I ought to speak, as I should to speak. In other words, he says, it is necessary, I must do it. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. This is Paul's heart in the gospel's ministry. Paul trusts sovereign God to open doors, and at the same time, when the doors is open, Paul is going with the gospel. We just heard and read how Paul asks the church to pray for his gospel ministry. He invites them to be his partners in prayer. So, do you think God answered this prayer? Do you think God answered the Colossian prayer and in Paul's ministry? I think God answered this prayer in many ways. I found three ways that for me look like very significant. So the first one, Paul was in custody for 2 years then. At that time, he had time to write his prison epistles. When we have more time than being in prison. So he wrote the book of Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Philemon. Can you imagine what unbelievable impact those books did in those 2,000 years after they were written? And even today, we have a clear gospel proclamation in our hands. So this is how God opened the doors for the gospel, even through his word that Paul wrote. Second, during his imprisonment, Paul was guarded by endless number of Roman soldiers, and I'm sure each of them was exposed to the gospel. Paul says in Philippians 1:13, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. There will be no possible way that the preacher can go and preach the gospel for Roman soldiers. They were enemies of the land, and he was inside of their camp preaching the gospel there, and no one can do nothing. Just hear the gospel, believe, bring that to their families. Unbelievable. This is open doors. When God opens doors, you just like, wow, a That's it. No one else can do that. Third, Paul's arrest was not strict, so he was allowed to have visitors there. So what do you think, if you would be Paul, what you would do if man comes to you in prison? You train them. You train them. Even though you are in prison, the man who is helping you, who are trained by you, goes and preaches the gospel, because you cannot, you are in prison, but you train men to go. So I believe that he does that as well. And I think the clearest manifestation of how God answered this prayer is found in the last two verses of the book of Acts. So please open with me Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. Verses 30 and 31. We'll see how God opens the doors for the gospel. Acts 28, verses 30 31. Verse 30. And Paul dwelt two whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him. Now listen. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no one forbidding him. God opened the doors for the gospel. Do you know what happens when God opens doors for the gospel? Listen, Paul was preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, being in custody, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. That is open doors. Doors is wide open. So Paul asked Colossians to pray, and God answered this prayer. That is a model of a faithful partnership in prayer. So how we can apply everything we just heard today in our lives? So don't assume doors will be open for the gospel. Pray to God to open doors. God is sovereign in this process. You are not able to manipulate people into salvation. So if God is sovereign, so what we can do? First thing, pray for the open hearts. Pray for the open hearts. Pray for God to open doors and pray for the opportunity to share the gospel. Pray for open hearts of the people. Second, pray for the mouths. Pray for the mouths. Be bold and ready to proclaim the gospel when the doors will be open. Gospel is clear. We tend to make it difficult. Pray that God would give you words and wisdom to be clear when He gives you opportunity. So pray for the hearts of the people and the mouths of those who proclaim the gospel. So my family and I are following into the footsteps of Paul. I'm asking your church to serve alongside us, to be our partners in prayer. I'm asking you to devote yourself and continue in prayer and pray for our ministry in Lithuania. So while you're praying, I'll tell you what to pray. I'll tell you what to pray. So the first thing, what to pray when you pray for our ministry. Pray for open hearts of the Lithuanian people. Pray for the open hearts of Lithuanian people. Pray that Lithuanian people will be hungry for truth, that they will be open for the gospel, that they will be ready to hear the word of God, hear the gospel. So pray for the open hearts of Lithuanian people. Two, pray for the boldness and clarity proclaiming the gospel. Pray for the boldness and clarity proclaiming the gospel. As you know, Lithuania is one of the most atheistic countries in Europe. It's the last pagan country in Europe, and it's really, really a godless country. So the ground is rough, but God can open the doors. God can open the doors for us to proclaim the gospel. So please pray for us that we will be bold. When God gives us opportunity, when God gives us the chance to preach the gospel, that we'll be ready and bold to do that. And third thing, pray for the partners in ministry. Pray for the partners in ministry. Pray that God would bring us all the prayer and financial partners that we need for the ministry. Pray for partners in our ministry, that we really need it. So we are inviting you to pray for our ministry in Lithuania. And we are already excited to see how God is going to answer your prayer in our ministry in Lithuania. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's so clear. Thank you that we can just read it, we can understand it. You want us to understand it. And please help us to be changed by your word. Help us to apply your word to our lives. And we are praying, God, for people's hearts. Only you can open the hearts. Only you can open hearts in this community, in Baltimore and all around the cities, God. And you can open hearts for our neighbors. And we're just praying, God, to open hearts here in this neighborhood, in the United States, and also open hearts in Lithuania, in Europe. And also, God, we are praying for open mouths. Please help us to really, God, be bold and share the only hope that people have in their life, which is our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. Please help us, God, to be bold. Thank you, God, that you love us. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that challenge. I mean, think about this. Here's a man that was in prison for 2 years, and in that time, he couldn't leave that place. So what does he do? He writes letters that we're reading today. I mean, think about how many people's lives have been radically changed by reading the epistles he wrote while he was in prison. He was able to witness to people that he could have never gone to their house and knocked on their door and said, "Hey, I want to give you the gospel." They didn't have anywhere to go. And they couldn't legally kill him while they were guarding him. Go figure. There were people that came to visit him because he had the freedom to do that. And the truth is that a lot of us do not even take a moment to say, "God, open a door of utterance to proclaim the gospel and help me to actually step up and do it." And I want to challenge you this week. Say, "Well, I stay at home with my kids. I don't get out very much. Who am I going to talk to?" Well, why don't you just ask the Lord to give you an opportunity? You have no idea what he's going to do. It might be when you're at the store. It might be somebody that knocks on your door. It might be somebody that sends you a Facebook message. You have no idea. I mean, God's big enough to do it the way he wants to do it. Who knows what he's going to do? So I really want to challenge you. Say, "God, this week, just open a door. Help me have the courage to take it. And when I do, to be clear. What happens after that is completely in your hands." And obviously, you want to see people trust Christ. There's no question about that. We can't manipulate them into the kingdom. God's got to work in their heart. But that's the simple prayer. Thank you for that great challenge. I really appreciate that a lot. Let's go ahead and pull out our hymn books for our closing hymn. And that is hymn 430, "Lord, I Need You." I need you to open doors. I need you to give me boldness. I need you to give me clarity. That's what we're saying. Let's stand together, please. Let's sing hymn 430, verses 1 and 2. And then if the Laskowskis can be in the back at your table, we'll stop by and encourage you in the Lord, fellowship with you. And they do live pretty local. So if you want to connect with them at another time, I'll invite them over. Have them to your home. A very sweet family. We had a great time of fellowship with them this afternoon. So take advantage of that opportunity. Hymn 430, "Lord, I Need You."
Sometimes when life seems gentle,
and blessings flood my way. I turn my gaze away from you and soon forget to pray. But when the sky grows darker and courage turns to fear, my anxious voice cries upward with words you long to hear. Lord, I need you. When the sea of life is calm, Lord, I need you. When the wind is blowing strong, whether trials come or cease, keep me always on my knees. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Lord, help me to remember I'm weak, but you are strong. I cannot sing apart from you, for Lord, you are my song. Oh, I love to wonder and boast in all I do. Lord, keep my eyes turned upward, so I depend on you. Lord, I need you. When the sea of life is calm, oh Lord, I need you. Just a random thought that popped into my head. It's dangerous to say things like this sometimes. But do you realize that when this song was written by Ron Hamilton in 1988, Lithuania was a communist country. Churches could not legally assemble. And this family is here tonight because God in his kindness tore down that oppression. And missionaries were able to go in the early 1990s and preach the gospel. And these two, their parents placed their faith in Christ. Their parents were first generation Christians. And that's just really a neat thing to think about. 1988, when this song was written, that was a communist country. And people were not able to assemble. And thank God for his mercies and the opportunity that they have to go back and to preach Christ and work with nationals. And by the way, that's all of Eastern Europe. That's all those countries. They were under communist oppression. So, Doug, can you come and close us in prayer tonight? And it's good to see everyone out. I hope that you'll be a real encouragement to this family.
Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this evening. We thank you for the Las Cascas coming, sharing the gospel with us. Thank you for such a poignant message to help them in their ministry. As Paul was very encouraging to the Colossians, we thank you for his admonishments, the letter he wrote from prison that we can use so freely in the United States and around the world to spread the gospel, to give us encouragement that you are in charge. You are God Almighty, and through divine appointments, we can share the gospel wherever we might find ourselves, using whatever means possible. You can open the hearts and minds of someone to receive the gospel and receive Christ as their Savior. Thank you for a wonderful missions month. Thank you for the preachment tonight. We ask to be dismissed at this point in time to our humble abodes, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.